Welcome to Galactic Chat. My name is Alex and joining me is Kathleen Jennings. She is best known perhaps to the speculative fiction community for her art, both fan-inspired and increasingly professional. She's a writer as well with publications in Australian and international venues, short fiction, over the last 5 or 6 years, I think. Kathleen, thank you for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
It's very exciting to get to chat to you about all the different creative aspects of your life. So I wanted to start, I guess, by talking about your art. As I said, it seems to be the thing that most people know you for, both your fan-inspired and your professional work. I'm not an art critic by any means, but I would suggest that your art's got a fairly distinctive style. It's a bit quirky. And at least to my eye, it kind of seems to hark back to some of the illustrations that I would expect to see in books from that perhaps even belong to my grandparents or that kind of thing. It feels, and it's certainly not in a derogatory way, it feels old. It feels like it harks back to a, I don't know, it sounds pretty silly to say it harks back to a more whimsical time. But how would you describe your art? Because you're a much better person to do that, I think. So how would you describe it?
Well, thank you very much for everything you said, because that's really my favourite era of illustration, not just for the art, but for the way books were illustrated and put together. So that's what I hope comes across in my illustration, and I think that's how I'd like to hear it described. I grew up particularly on Pauline Bain's illustrations for Lion, the Witch and the Wardrobe, or the Chronicles of Narnia, and more particularly her illustrations for Tolkien's Farmer Giles of Ham, which I adore. So, and I, just all that era, and then Kay Nielsen, and going back to the golden age of illustration, various golden ages of illustration. Yep. So I love all that. I get compared to Quentin Blake a lot with my sketchbooks. So
I think that's the
sort of shorthand style of drawing things. I would not compare myself to Quentin Blake, but I again love the freedom and I think the lightheartedness of his style. And that's something that I do like with Pauline Bain's illustrations for Tolkien. It's much more lighthearted than for C.S. Lewis. And I like that feeling of freedom and joy and just having fun in a world.
Yeah. So with those kind of inspirations, I guess, do you feel like your artistic style developed kind of organically in response to that? Or did you have a particular plan in how you wanted to have your art respond to those inspirations?
Planning takes time. Take this valuable time I could be drawing in. No, I've always drawn, and I was not trying to become an artist. It was a bit of a surprise once people not only liked my art, but knew me for my art.
Yep.
And I sort of had to reevaluate what I saw myself as to an extent. So it did develop pretty organically. There's a few different styles that I still play with. Mm-hmm. But I think originally, or early on when I started really dreaming about art, it was the much more developed painterly styles, which I haven't pursued particularly, and I admire and am stunned at the work of some of the artists out there. I went to ElexCon last year, and it was amazing. It was like all the book covers came to life, and I don't do that. So to an extent, it was also a style that, not only the style that I love, but a style that could quickly and enjoyably for me communicate the stories that I was seeing.
Yep.
So rather than spending weeks creating a world in a single image on a canvas, I love having dozens of sketches building up an idea of a world or a story and kind of playing around in that.
So you said before that you've kind of always drawn. I know some writers say that they just have to write. It kind of doesn't matter if anybody else is going to read it. They just have to write. Is that how you feel about your art?
Yes. I would have always said it. I think I would have consciously said it more about writing from an early age, but I've always drawn. I was aware that I wrote, I don't think I was always aware the extent to which I was drawing on everything that stayed still long enough at the same time and illustrating, you know, my own stories, because I hoped one day to write books which would be illustrated. I just wasn't planning to do it myself.
Sure. Does that mean that there was sort of one, like, breakthrough moment where you realized that you were recognized as an artist, or has it been a gradual development?
I think I noticed it when... Now, I'm trying to remember who it was. There was an interview last year. This is going to be bad. I can picture the interviewer and I can't quite remember.
I was reading from your blog. Was it the time that Rowena Corey Daniels was?
No, it was more recently, and I'm not sure I updated that. And they said,
Tansy or Angela?
I think it was Tansy who says, thank you. You've done your research and I haven't. I think it was Tansy, but we can edit this out. Yes, if I get it completely
absolutely
right. Who said, not many people know that Kathleen also writes. And that was the point. I'm like, oh, I thought everyone knew that. It just was that I happened to draw as well and ended up doing that too. I'm like, oh, I'm Kathleen the illustrator, who some people may not know writes. So that was probably as recently as that that I had to reevaluate it.
Has that been a kind of weird identity shift for you, or does that work for you?
It's weird in a way, but I go through my life accidentally stumbling into careers pretty much. So the writing's always been something I was doing and wanted to do. And, you know, so I did my arts degree and I did law to make that look impressive. And suddenly I'm a lawyer. I always say to people, this is where you need to set positive goals. Because otherwise, if you just float along, you end up as a lawyer and an artist, apparently. Did that answer the question?
Yes, absolutely. And we will get to talking about your writing in a moment, but I just wanted to talk to you a little bit more about your art, particularly because I've really enjoyed the art that you did for the Eclipse Online series, which I think it seems to me to have been a really interesting way of illustrating, because although it's an online publication, you were effectively doing like internal illustrations. Is that how you felt about it?
Yes, very much so. And it was such a wonderful opportunity, and it was very exciting. It was really flattering to have been asked by Jonathan to do that, and an amazing experience. Yeah, just to get to do that and work with him developing the style as we went. Whereas if it was for an anthology or something like that, we'd have had to have worked out a cohesive style ahead of time and done all. So it was kind of organic and planned and internal, but online.
And it seems to have really worked.
Thank you. It was a novel experience for me, but an excellent one, and some amazing stories. I put up links on my blog to all of the illustrations that I've done now that it is very unfortunately finished. And yeah, there's just some stunning stories there, and it was a real privilege to get to be able to draw them and play around in those worlds, get told to make them darker.
So with Eclipse Online and with the other venues that you've illustrated for as well, both internally and cover art and so on, it seems to me that you've illustrated a really wide variety of science fiction, and fantasy rather, of a really wide variety of stories. Do you think there's any kind of topics or whatever that you wouldn't approach, or that you would find really difficult to approach as an artist?
Perhaps. I think there's a few. Sometimes I wonder if there'd be, I guess, a kind of, you know, moral line I wouldn't cross with stories, but often in any case, you sort of agree to do the illustrations before you get the story. And although I may not always see eye to eye with the particular views of the author or the publication, I don't have a problem illustrating. And if I was asked to draw something I particularly didn't want to draw, like a particular image, I'd probably object to that, but I haven't been asked. I'm usually given a pretty free hand. There's two things I have difficulties with, and that is if it's a story that doesn't resonate with me at all. That can be that's a probably the hardest thing. The second is hard science fiction, like not quirky science fiction, but hard science fiction, if I'm not allowed to do it quirky.
It's difficult to draw a spaceship like Quentin Blakewood.
Well, it's easy to draw a spaceship in a quirky way, but sometimes that doesn't always suit the story. Although I think the hardest one was still, it was a story from Andromeda Spaceways, and honestly, I can't remember off the top of my head the title, but I was given this story with the instruction that it needs, we think it deserves an illustration, which it did, but we don't quite know what it should be, so we'll just let you do it. I'm like, the whole thing takes place in a tunnel under the sea in the dark. So that was a bit of a challenge.
I can well imagine. Did you rise to the challenge? Did you create something appropriate?
I think so. I was still working out, I'm probably still working out how to do like a full page illustration that's not a spot illustration at that stage. So I was still developing my current style at that stage.
Yep.
But I went sort of combination of literal and symbolic. Yeah, that was that was an interesting one. But yeah, hard science fiction with, it's mostly because it's all straight lines and, you know, accurate reflective surfaces, and I just don't tend to do that.
Sure. So mid-2013, do you feel like your artistic style is still developing? Are you still playing with techniques, or do you feel like you're really settled now?
I think I'm still developing, but I hope I'll always be still developing. And there's a lot of techniques and styles and media that I want to try. I'm working on some pieces for an art show. Working on,
of course.
Scare quotes. I bought some frames yesterday. Some pieces for an art show. And I've been doing a little, some embroidered pieces as part of that, which, I mean, I used to do a lot of handwork before I consolidated some of my extracurricular pursuits. And it's been nice to get back into that. And I'd really love to do an illustration. There's some gorgeous embroidered book cover designs out at the moment. I'd like to try something like that one day. It's still, however, in my style. And I think I've nailed down to an extent the sort of art that I like to do.
Yep.
So even if the style develops, I've got my looser line work style, I've got the silhouettes, the scratchboard, and even if I try different techniques, you know, screen printed one thing on plywood recently, I hope that it will always be my way of telling a story, even if that changes as I learn more.
Oh, fair enough. Do you have a goal in mind for your art? I mean, from what you've been saying, it doesn't sound like you're anticipating that it's something you could ever go fully professional on and actually live on the proceeds for. Is that something that you would like to do, or do you anticipate always being kind of semi-professional with it?
I would love to do that. There's some bridging finance considerations involved in doing any of that. So I think, at the moment, though, apart from the financial aspects of that, you know, moving into another career path and starting when I'm currently in a professional career and, you know, allowed my lifestyle to reflect that. It's a big mistake. Don't let anyone bully into that. No. Apart from that is that it would be a really interesting process to learn to take that career professionalism across into art, which I do try to do with my artistic pursuits to an extent, but it's sometimes really, really nice to be able to go into the office and just do things that are capable of being objectively evaluated. And I think I like my day job. I would love to live on and with and surrounded by the artistic pursuits. At the moment, I'm trying to have it all at the same time, but I also, I have a great job, and I really appreciate the support that a lot of lawyers have given me in developing.
Oh, great.
The art and creativity.
Yep.
But I think all lawyers are, you know, remarkably suppressed people, and rejoice when others find ways of expressing that.
I can believe it. I have one more question about your art, because I want to know about the Dalek game. I want to know why you started drawing them, and I guess what sort of response you've had from people as well, because for people who don't know, Kathleen has a tendency, well, when she's, you know, able and has the time of putting up pictures with Daleks in classic book titles, usually. Amongst my favourites, and I'm going to get it wrong, was it The Lion, the Witch and the Dalek?
Yes, it was. Cause
I couldn't remember which one you replaced her with.
Scarlet, the Witch in the Wardrobe. I honestly can't remember. I know the witch is in there. Yeah. I remember drawing her.
So how did you come up with the Dalek game, Kathleen?
As with many things in the world at the moment, I really do have to blame Twitter.
possibly
Alan Baxter as well. Mm. In combination with... I can't quite remember the sequence of events which led to it. There was various things happening on Twitter with replacing names, and it may have been before or after the Ducks, and I still want to do the Ducks at some point. I think it was after the Ducks. I am going to do more duck pictures in the future, eventually, after I recover from the trauma of drawing 14 at once. But this is why I haven't done 101 Daleks yet.
Oh, my goodness.
So I learnt my lesson with Flash Gordon and the Ducks. But... yeah, we were just messing around online, and I think that was in the back of my head, and then I was talking probably to my housemate about, you know, car games, I think, and we decided this would be an excellent game to play on long road trips instead of forcing her, who gets car sick, to read Georgette Heyer out loud to me, which makes me laugh so hard I'm crying, and it's actually really dangerous. So
Yes.
Excellent for car trips, but yeah, probably shouldn't force it on the people who get queasy. So, yeah, we're just messing around with it. And I thought, I'd kind of like to draw a couple of these. And so I just started doing it, and it was a lot of fun. I had never quite worked out, this is the problem with not taking time to sit down and plan things out, a really efficient way of getting them scanned in, cleaned up, and queued, ready to go. I have drawn some more. There's been a bit of a long hiatus, and I have recently looked at my bookcase and thought, here is a whole set of all my favorite books, and I haven't done a single one by this author. So there'll be a bunch more coming once I have the opportunity to sit down and do that.
That's good to hear.
But that's how it started, just messing around with words, really. And then they were fun to draw. And as I think I probably put on the description of the Dalek game, I love Daleks. They're just so kind of stressed and panicked all the time. I relate.
You do manage to make them absurdly cute.
Thank you. I don't think they should be too cute, but I just have fun with them. I like the idea of them lost in a literary world. And it was a chance to get to try my hand. I wrote every time I put them up a bit about the book that they're in. So it was both a written love song to a lot of my favorite books and just to books with great titles in some cases that I hadn't read. I never read The Kalahari Typing School for Men, though I have read others in the series, but it's such a good title.
It's great.
And then also occasionally to get to, you know, pay my respects to a particular illustration or artist that I liked, like Pauline Baynes with The Witch, the Dalek, The Witch in the Wardrobe, and Gory with, I think I did a couple Gory pictures there.
Yep. I particularly like it every time you manage to get a flower on a Dalek. That's
a flower.
Yeah. They just look good with flowers on them.
Yeah. Well, if I ever do the musical versions, I'll do, you know, if you're going to San Francisco. That would work. Be sure to wear some Daleks in your hair.
Oh, dear. That's disastrous. So you mentioned being on Twitter, and I must admit that I do follow you on Twitter because I do like seeing some of the sketches that you come up with in particular. And one of the things you often talk about is your, do you say LAM or your L-A-M?
My L-A-M.
Your L-A-M, your large amorphous manuscript.
Yes.
Do I dare ask how long this project has been ongoing?
Technically, the writing of the large amorphous manuscript in total took 4.5 months.
Right.
But that's spread over a number of Novembers. So,
right.
Yeah. I'm really pleased that I got that many words done in that shorter space of time. It gives me hope for the future and also, you know, things not to repeat. But it's been going on for a few years, and I think I've been developing as a writer in that time, and now I am having to develop as an editor, and it hurts. But I'm not going to let it beat me.
Can you give us an idea of what sorts of things are involved in your LAM?
It's definitely not historically accurate. And I'm just going to apologize to all the amazing historians out there who give so much help to other authors and writers, but the aim of this one is not to be historically accurate whatsoever. It's got, okay, what's it got in it? It's basically the sort of story that was going on in my head when I was reading all the books that I was reading growing up. But I grew up in Western Queensland with an American mother and a lot of English storybooks. And so I had all these fairy tales and stories and adventures in my head, and just trying to create the world that they took place in out of the illustrations, out of the words, out of the feeling that I was getting from these books. Mm-hmm. And so it is a fairy. It is made up of a lot of stories and fairy tales, but it's all hung around a version, hugely adapted, but recognizable, I hope, of Robin Hood, which is one of my favorite of stories and everything.
Yep.
But I really didn't want, there's some great historical takes on Robin Hood, and but my favorite ones have always been the completely ahistorical, out of time ones.
The
Sword
worms.
And the Stone. Yes. The sword, my three favorite takes on Robin Hood are The Sword in the Stone, that one heartbreaking scene in The Last Unicorn. I haven't seen the movie, but in the book. And Disney's Robin Hood with the foxes.
The foxes, it's still, you know, the rabbit, you know, he's my favourite.
Just that whole, the fantasy of it. Mm. And so blending that with a lot of fairy tales and the sorts of adventures that I liked reading, and trying out a lot of things that I wanted to try, and different takes on what makes characters strong, and whether you can do that without riding out to war with weapons.
So, is that the sort of issues that you would like to continue exploring in your writing, or have you got a whole bunch of other ideas bubbling away waiting for the LAM to get out of the way?
I've got a lot of ideas. I think I like writing two particular aspects. One is the fairy tale fantasy. Not necessarily a fairy tale retelling, but that flavour, mythic fantasy.
Yep.
You know, all those sorts of people.
Yep.
Charles de Lint, Charles Vess, Neil Gaiman, C.S. Lewis, and anyone who falls into those sorts of, that sort of area is what I love. But I also like the more contemporary fantasy, not strictly urban, but the magic that happens in the ordinary world, whether that's from magic realism, but really more into, you know, mysteries taking place in the botanic gardens, or, you know, fairy tales that happen in a semi-modern rural setting, things like that. I really like, so I've got probably about equal balance with a little dose of steampunk down the middle. There's some longer pieces. There's some stories I've got out and that are working on, which are set in varying degrees in recent decades in Queensland, but with a strong overtone of magic and borders and boundaries and mysteries and families which have secrets.
It sounds fantastic. There's a little bit of me that says, just put away the knives and the paints for a little while. go and write instead.
They do tend to develop pretty much hand in hand. So
that's a shame.
A lot of the pictures that I draw do turn into stories, and a lot of the stories give rise to pictures. And so I've worked out some ideas for this art show, and the art will tie into ideas in the larger manuscript and things like that. So
that would seem to suggest that for you, the writing and the visual arts are very much working in tandem in your brain. It's not like you have to change from one to the other, but that they're all part of one creative process?
They are, except that you can see the progress a lot more easily with the art. People don't glance it. which the writing definitely needs on a regular basis. It's all about storytelling for me, and I love the stories that can be conveyed through art, and I find that a lot of the advice I read for illustrators, and the advice, not artists, but illustrators in particular, and for writers, particularly genre writers, are often very similar, and I can pick up some great ideas for my writing based on tips and instructions given by master illustrators and vice versa. In fact, it's fascinating. I went to World Fantasy and Alexcon within a week of each other. And it was really amazing because the same genre, but one was paintings and one was words.
Yeah.
And to hear the way they concentrated on bringing the story out of the particular medium and the similarities of that was lovely. So I think they should work together more. And it's been a great privilege for me to have been, as a writer, I've been raised by writers, but as an artist, I've been raised by writers. And I know far more authors and publishers and editors than I do artists, although I'm hoping to correct that. But it's been a real privilege to get to develop worlds in tandem with writers.
Yep.
I just, when it's all about storytelling, I think.
So you've talked to then a little bit about the ideas in your head and the fact that you're working on your LAM. Do you have any more, I guess, definite projects, either artistically or, with visual arts or with your writing, that are coming up in the near future that you can talk about? Any exciting, the art gallery, the art show that you're talking about, is that going to be, is that a kind of a hard copy? That's a silly way of putting it, but is that a physically located art show, or will people be able to
yes.
see that stuff?
It will be in Brisbane in August. It's actually a group art show, and I'll have a panel with some art on it there. It's called Once Upon a Time, and it will be on in Brisbane in August. So I think if you look up Once Upon a Time, a fairy tale exhibition,
yep.
or fairy tales reinterpreted, should be able to find it. And
excellent.
I will be, once the advertising material comes out, I'll be putting a bit more up on my blog about that. So that's very exciting for me. It's my first non-convention art show.
Nice.
And so I'm alternately freaking out and avoiding my responsibilities, but I've been working on that. And I have then to get ready for the art show at World Fantasy in Brighton, which I will be taking some art to once I work out how to both frame and transport it. So
difficult.
Yeah, so that will be exciting. So those are my two of my projects coming up. I have a lot of smaller illustrative projects on the boil. I've got a few which I've done the art for, mm-hmm. which are coming out later in the year. I did the cover and internal illustrations for a collection of Catherine Valente's short stories, which is coming out from Subterranean later in this year, which is both it was a wonderful to get to do, and also terrifying. and they've been really good to work with. And a few book covers coming out on, you know, books from Small Beer Press again, and a few other projects like that because of some wedding invitations, things like that. A lot of smaller projects that I'm actually working on at the moment, art for conventions and some things like that. Art, which I guess I can talk about now because it has appeared on Facebook, doing the concept art for the costume and animation sequences for an opera based on one of Laura Gooden's short stories. So
wow.
That is amazing to get to do.
That's as far fantastic. As the, what's that called? What's the opera called?
Dancing Mice and the Giants of Flanders, which is. Yes, which is based on her short story in the Masks anthology.
Right.
Which I did illustrate some stories in the Masks anthology, not that one, but I was going through a book of cut out sketches from scraps of paper. I try and keep them all stuck in one place. I'm like, oh, here are some of Laura's mice I was drawing a few years ago. So that's been big. As far as writing, the writing's pretty self-guided because I don't have, usually with writing, you write it and you send it out and try and sell it to someone. Whereas with the art, usually people approach you and ask you to do it. So I've got a number of short stories that I'm working on, the large amorphous manuscript, which I'm just ploughing through because not having edited something this large before, there's no real hope that it, like, I don't know what it feels like when you get to the end. I don't know what it feels like when you're on the right track. So that is a test of stamina and, you know, suspension of no belief, something. Yeah. There's a few projects I'd like to work on, a combination of art and writing, which I'm just kind of floating with various people at the moment, so I can't talk too much about them, but although I'm flat out at the moment, I always like talking to people about ideas and bouncing things around and going to people, I have drawn these little things. I think they're very cute. I have some ideas for what should be written to accompany some of them, but perhaps you have some ideas as well. So, yeah, a lot of smaller things happening, and I keep a wish list of stuff I'd like to do. Not goals, just a wish list.
Good.
Because then it sort of helps if someone offers you something and you're flat out and you go, but it's on my wish list. And weirdly, things don't happen that are on the wish list. Like, I don't think I've ticked anything off the list exactly.
Yeah.
But one of the first things on it was do a comic, an illustrator comic written by Kelly Link. And I ended up writing and illustrating a comic for Kelly Link.
That's pretty close.
Yes. Or I really, really wanted to design end papers for something. And I haven't done that yet, but I was allowed to get away with doing a book cover in an end paper style, which, you know, book cover as opposed to end papers. I wanted to do a theatre poster, and I've ended up doing, you know, design for an opera, which is awesome again. But it's funny. I'm like, huh, what shall I put on the list next?
How much bigger can I go?
Yes. You know, finish editing a certain number of short stories. It's turned into attempt to finish editing a novel at lunch, on my lunch hours with other writing work colleagues.
It sounds vaguely scary and crazy and awfully exciting at the same time, Kathleen.
Oh, it is, it is. I wouldn't do it if it wasn't. If it wasn't thrilling.
In various degrees. Well, I'm going to leave you there. You should go off and be creative, really. I'll have a link in the show notes to everything that I can find links to the Once Upon a Time exhibition, and, of course, to Kathleen's website, so that if you have not seen her Dalek Game pictures, you too can revel in the joy of, I think it was, I Can Jump Daleks. That was another...
I like Dalek of the Rings and Little Dalek of the Prairie.
Dalek of the Rings is, yes, I was indeed glorious. So thank you very much indeed for talking to me, Kathleen. I really enjoyed hearing particularly about your, the way that you have developed your art. So thank you for sharing with us.
Thank you. It was a lovely conversation.
Bye.
Bye.